Kings, Jesus' name. I'm blessed by the preaching that's been shared this morning already. It's just a lot there in Peter to take in and apply to our lives. And I was encouraged and challenged by that. Maybe we can pause and have prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do just pause here this morning with thanksgiving. We thank you for the opportunity that we have for coming together here this morning, for being able to sing praises unto you, and being reminded of what you have done for us and what you are doing. Lord, I thank you for your word. And I just pray, Lord, as we look into your word, Father, this morning, I just pray that you would minister to the needs that we have. And I just pray, Lord, that you would have your way. I pray that you would give me the ability to share the things that you have laid upon my heart. And pray that you would give us ears this morning that can hear and hearts that can receive. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to take these things and apply them to our lives. We ask, Lord, for your hand of protection over this service and that your will would be accomplished. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I'd like to turn to Colossians chapter 2 and just go through this chapter and see what the Lord would have for us here this morning. I'm going to start reading in Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at least, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Be aware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them, openly triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, mainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Coming back to the beginning of the chapter here, and we'll just work our way through here and see what the Lord would have for us. I'm going to read the first three verses here again, and this time I'm going to read it out of the NIV. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. In this, the beginning of this chapter, we see Paul's heart here for the people. A goal to encourage in encouraging them to be united in love. And the reason that he was desiring that for them is that they might experience the riches of Christ. So we don't see anything in it for Paul that he was looking out for himself. But he was writing this and speaking to them, looking out for the people, having a care like a father or mother or pastor. The goal to encourage, and the reason that they might experience Jesus in the fullest. We just stop and ponder that, and as we find ourselves ministering or reaching out to people or speaking into their lives, is that what we see coming out of our hearts, out of my heart? Is that, or is there... is there other motives? So let's take note of that. We see Paul's motive, and he wanted them to experience Jesus in the fullest. Going down to verse 4, and again, I'm going to read this. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine soundings, arguments, for though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him. Strengthen in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Verse 4 here starts with a warning. And when we look at the word beguile in the King James, it's a warning that you wouldn't be deceived, and that you with enticing words that sound good. And so he was warning them here to be careful. And the NIV says to deceive you by fine sounding arguments. So we need to ponder those things and to pay attention, that we don't just take things, but that we look at the things that are being said and coming at us, whether God's word, do we allow those things to be filtered through God's word? Verse 6 and 7, again there, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Remembering as you have received Christ to continue. We go back and are reminded or remember our joy as we receive Christ, and he's encouraging here to continue and to be when we think rooted and built up in him, we can think of a number of things, but I think of a tree that its roots are established and it's growing, and not a whole lot when the roots are down, not a whole lot is going to phase that tree. So that's how he's encouraging us. And in the end of verse 6 there, what is he encouraging them in? To be overflowing with thankfulness. Overflowing with thankfulness. How do we do that? When we're going down the road of remembering all the things that were difficult and all the things that was hard, things that didn't go the way that I was planning, doesn't work out so well, does it? So if we want to come out in the end of verse 6 in overflowing with thankfulness, we need to start identifying some things that bring thankfulness. Anybody have any things that they're that would do that for them this morning? Yeah, amen. I mean, that's as a Christian, that's foundational. If we forget that, it's going to be a hard road. Yeah. There's I haven't spent a lot of time thinking about this, but there's a lot of little things that we can pick up on that can bring joy in our heart. Even going back and remembering, it's like, oh, the Lord was with me here. And remembering prayers that were answered. And just going through those things and being reminded that I'm not walking this journey alone. Brings gratitude and thankfulness, and we find ourselves rejoicing, as in, I like the way verse 6 puts it in the NIV there, overflowing with thankfulness. Like, not just grasping onto something, it's like, oh yeah, if I try really hard, I can find something to be grateful for. But it's like, if you ever seen a spring where water's just bubbling out of the ground, like, you can't stop it. I've seen wells like that, and they put a cap on, and it just finds its way out. And I think that's what he's encouraging, that if we're rooted and built up in him and strengthened in the faith as we were taught, and we can experience that overflowing with thankfulness. And it's something I believe we can't fabricate it. We can try to, it's like, well, this is the way I'm supposed to be. And so we try to do that. But we need to, yeah, remember what Jesus has done. And not only remember what he's done, but go down through and be reminded of the things he's actually doing in my life and in other people's lives. And that will bring, I believe, gratitude. Going down to verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. Again here, in verse 8, he says, starts with, be aware. In NIV says, see to it that no one takes you captive. So, whose responsibility is that? That doesn't happen in our individual lives. I think he's making this personal. We're each responsible to look into this, and if we're a body, we also speak into each other's lives in these things. Be aware means to take heed, to look out. Guard yourself. And and it's talking about led into captivity, slavery. We are called to be disciples of Jesus. when we, what are we to be aware of, and to take heed and to look out and guard ourselves against? James talks about the traditions of men. The NIV says, it depends on human tradition. So we are to guard against that the relationship in Christ or our faith, that we're not to pop up against human reasoning and or human traditions, but rather be reminded that we're disciples of Jesus. And not to be disciples of this world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So that's what I believe it's talking about, casting down imaginations. How often are we tempted to go down these roads of, it's like, well, I've got this. I know what I'm doing. And we go down these journeys in life trying to figure it out myself. And I forget to stop and ask the Lord to guide me. And be aware of these things. Going down to verse 11. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self rolled by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. It's a really good piece to remember. We're a doer type of people, and if we, it's easy for us to go down a road and it's like, well, if I do this, or if I try hard enough, I can change that. But we're reminded here that as believers, we're circumcised with the circumcision that is made without hands. It is the Lord doing a work in my heart. And I can't fake that. Verse 12. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith, in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. Just reminded here again of what happened. That we were changed and buried with him in baptism, and raised again as a new person in Christ. And these are things we all know. And we want to live. But sometimes when we get derailed, it's easy, at least for myself, to take these things in my own hand. And it's like, okay, I need to fix this. I need to make it work. And it's good for us to go back and remember that the things that changed in my heart, it wasn't a surgery that I performed with my own hands or my own ability or my own knowledge, but that it was me coming to Christ, realizing that I needed change. And that I opened myself up to Jesus, and He did that. And as we continue, as we continue through life, that we don't forget that. Verse 13, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6, the Lord will change your hearts. Just a reminder, it's the Lord that is changing our hearts. We come to Him, and He is the one that is changing us. Verse 14. Having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Again, just words, verses that remind us what Jesus has done, what the work of the cross has done in our lives and is doing, and remembering that that's where our rejoicing comes from. That's where we receive our strength and courage. And then, the things that were against us, He took them and nailed them to the cross. And then going down to verse 16. Let therefore do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon, celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Saying to pay attention to these things. Don't let Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day. But remember that our salvation is found in Christ. And I think it's easy to get hung up in these things. And we can look at these verses and say, well, nothing matters. And that it's, we can find licenses to do whatever we want to do. I don't think that's what it's talking about here, but rather it's talking about that we don't prop ourselves up with human efforts, human, like we don't find righteousness because I remembered all the different holidays that were around that had something to do with Jesus or the Sabbath day, or, and I remember being part of that where those were really important in my life. And as a family, we observed those days very carefully. And it was all these different religious days. Was it wrong? No, it wasn't wrong. But the importance of it was, if you put your, like, well, if I do all these things, then I am, this will make me acceptable. And I remember as a young teenager when we were starting to get away from that. And one day in particular, I might have said this story before, Dad said, we're going to go out and work. There was some hay that needed to be baled, and it was going to rain the next day. And he said, those are things, it's okay, we can go do that. So the decision was made that we were going to put this hay away. And it wasn't on Sunday, it was on, I forget what day it was, but it was. And so we went out and baled hay. And guess what? That afternoon, one of our best horses fell over dead. I think from a heart attack. It was a hot day. And I remember Mom talking, it's like, we shouldn't be doing this. And we're being, yeah, the thought is like, we're being punished for doing this. That's how ingrained that was. And maybe it was an attack on my parents in like pulling away from rituals that don't, they're not wrong in themselves, but they don't hold our salvation. So that's been, yeah, in my mind. I've never forgotten that day and how that played out. So don't allow man's thinking to persuade you that meat, drink, respect of a day, new moon, Sabbath day, that any of those things are going to make, in of themselves, are going to make you right and ready to meet with God, or even give you, like, that's what you have to do, that you have to do all of these things, and then you're prepared that you can actually have a relationship with God. Verse 18 and following. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, and from whom the whole body is supported and held together by its ligaments and grows as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with these things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. As I was reading that, just reminded of what was read to us there in 1 Peter chapter 2, and I think Jordan was talking about authorities and respecting them. That's not what this is talking about. We are what Jordan shared there. We are to do those things, but here I believe it's talking about not going down roads of just doing what it's saying here, like. We have the ability to make ourselves look spiritual by doing and not doing things. Touch not, taste not, handle not. Maybe even making doctrines that are made with men in making ourselves look like something and he's reminding us here that this kind of humility, this kind of relationship, this kind of religion is made with man and is also going to die with man. Like, it's not lasting, but rather his heart, as we look through this chapter, is that we would be reminded that we've been changed, not with human hands. The change, the circumcision that happened in our hearts wasn't something that one of you has performed on me. It wasn't something that I changed myself, but that Jesus did. And so let's not lose sight of that. And we can start out well and strong. And he obviously in this chapter, he warns, and a couple different places here tells them to pay attention, be aware. These things creep up on us, and we like to be a self-help kind of people. And when we break something, and we don't have to get anybody else involved, I just fix it myself. And maybe we do that with Jesus sometimes. Oh, things aren't quite right. We don't think this But maybe we like, well, I don't want to bother Jesus. I'll just make it right. And everything goes on. And that gets us in trouble. Stay away from self-help. Come to Jesus. Allow him to fix it and change us. And remember that this chapter is telling us that is going to be lasting. When we allow the Lord to fix it and change us and keep us, we can be strong. In closing here, just a couple of verses in Luke chapter 11. Verse 39 and 40, and the Lord said unto him, now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, here's Paul's testimony. Now this is our boast. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, with integrity and godly sincerity. We have done so relying not on worldly wisdom, but on God's grace, not relying on worldly wisdom. Their testimony is that they didn't apply their own wisdom or worldly wisdom, but they were relying on God's grace. In Romans 15, verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we may overflow with hope by not our doings, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. May God bless each one of you.